Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit, was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let me just read this quickly. I'll come right back to the second chapter. But in the fourth chapter, he says in verse 18, "Now some are puffed up." That just means that you're puffed up in pride, "as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." You know, here's my translation of this. He's given all of these things about why he had a right to speak into these people and give them direction. And finally, he just comes down and he says, "I know some of you are lifted up in pride and you're acting as if I'm not going to come, but I am going to come. And when I come, I'm not going to know your speech. I'm going to know your power, because the kingdom of God isn't in word, but it's in power." Basically, he's just saying, when I get there, anybody who is seeing any better results than I'm getting, who sees more people raised from the dead, who sees more blind eyes open than what I'm seeing, then you have a right to say something. And if you don't have any power working in your life, shut up. That's basically what he was telling them. You know, I'm always amazed that here I am on television teaching these things, and people will listen to me, and they get upset, and they send me rebukes and criticisms. David right now reads most of them, praise God. My mother, when she opened the mail, she brought everything to me. We have people write, "The person opening this mail will die in 24 hours if you don't deliver this right to Andrew." And man, she'd come running in and hand it to me. I heard every gripe and complaint. I don't hear them all now, but the ones that I do see, it amazes me that people that have never led another person to the Lord, who have never been used of God, they've never seen a person healed, they've never seen anything done, they have never ministered to another person, they've never seen a person's life change, they got it all figured out, and they're going to come tell somebody who has touched thousands of lives how to do all these things. And I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. I'm just saying it's amazing to me how people, you know, who haven't ever done a thing, want to tell somebody who's doing something how to do it. And I'd like to especially say that for any of you who are going to come up tonight and correct me and give me all of these things. I was in a meeting one time where people were criticizing me out loud and speaking against me. And, you know, finally I just said, "All right, anybody who's led any more people to the Lord than I have this week, you got a right to stand up and criticize me. And if you haven't, well, then shut up and sit down." And nobody could say anything. Basically, that's what the Apostle Paul's saying. He says, "I didn't just use words, I demonstrated it." Paul saw miracles happen. He saw Eutychus raised from the dead. He saw all kinds of things happen. And Paul basically said, "You know, I've got the works of an apostle in my life." You can see the power of God. You can see the demonstration. The Bible says God confirms His word with signs and wonders following out of Mark chapter 16. If it's the true word of God, there'll be miracles. If there aren't miracles, we shouldn't be listening to those people. Thank you for that thunderous silence. There are some of you that go to churches that are so dead. This friend of mine, Dave Duell, says that he was in a church and he was preaching and somebody died and they called 911 and they came. The emergency crew came and carried out half of the congregation before they found the dead person. There are some of you that are in churches that are so dead that they'd have to look to find which one is dead. Nothing ever happens, and yet you go and you give your money, and then you have to bootleg the gospel and come to a meeting like this and ask me to pray for you, because the place that you give your money is dead and they're licensing homosexuals to preach and they're into all of these social activities, and it's wrong. And you know what? God loves you and I love you and I go ahead and pray for you, but I'm telling you that why should you go to a place that there isn't any power and demonstration? Why do you go to a place where everybody's sick? Why do you go to a place where nobody's prospering? Why do you go to a place where nobody has victory? Instead, they're teaching you that it's God's will for you to suffer, and it's God's will for you to have your children born retarded and without abilities and stuff. I'm saying this in love. I got nothing to gain. I don't have a church for you to join. I'm saying this in love, really, brothers and sisters. But there are some of you that you go to places that you never hear the word. It grieves you to go there, and yet you sit there because your great-grandfather bought a pew and has his name plate on it. Or for whatever reason. And you're sitting in a dead place, giving your money to it, and you're dying along with it out of some sense of obligation. That's just stupid. Forgive me for being blunt, but that's stupid. And if you are having to watch me on television to get fed, or to come to a meeting to get fed, or to go to somebody else's meeting, or if you have to go to the Christian bookstore, and if that's where you're getting your food from, that's where you ought to give, not to a place that's got a steeple on it that God hasn't been able to get into for decades. Amen. And I'll always have somebody come up and say, but God has placed me here to change this church. Let me tell you that I've pastored three churches. We got pastors right here. You can ask any of these pastors. It takes a miracle for the pastor to change the church. I mean, it takes a first-class miracle for the pastor to motivate people and to get them to change. And you, as Joe Blow church member, are not going to change that church. As a matter of fact, what you're going to do is undercut the authority of the pastor. It would actually be better for those people to be together in unity and in peace with the wrong doctrine than to have somebody sitting there stirring it up and undercutting and criticizing the message of the pastor and sowing division. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Strife is an open door to the devil more than anything else. And if you are in a church criticizing the pastor's message and stuff, you are being an instrument of the devil. You are not going to change that church. You might change individuals. Now, it is true that a person staying in a church can reach individuals in your circle of friends, but you aren't going to change that church. You're just deceived. And you may disagree with that, but man, I believe that's true. Paul said, I'm not going to listen to just words of people. Show me some results. Show me the power of God in your life. I have been around a long time. I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I have never seen an individual change a church. Never. Never. I've seen pastors that have influenced the church, but like I said, that's a miracle. But just Joe Blow believer in the church, it has never happened. It's not going to happen. That's God works from the head down. The foot, the toe doesn't tell the rest of the body what to do. There is an order, and God operates within that. So anyway, I'm just about to get off the subject, but Paul was saying that, you know what, he had the right to speak, and he wasn't using enticing words. He used the power of the Spirit, and the power of God was on him, and because of that, people should listen to what he had to say, because there was a manifest presence of God in his life. So that's what he was saying. And in verse 5, he says, the reason he was doing this was that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, talking about born-again believers, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. So he was saying that I'm not using all of these, you know, I'm not using just physical, natural things to impact people. He was speaking just simple things and trusting the Holy Spirit through the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit to impact people's lives. But then he says, but I am speaking wisdom. It's not the wisdom of this world, however, the princes of this world. It's a godly wisdom. He says it's the wisdom of God in a mystery which has been hidden for us. And he uses this same terminology over in his book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, the same writer, says this. There's a number of times. Over in Colossians, he says the mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Talking about who we've become in Christ, in Christ realities. Paul was preaching something that was radically different in his day. Radically different. You know, I could literally spend days telling you how different the gospel is from the Old Testament law. And sad to say, most Christians today just easily mix the two so that they'll sit there and operate under the wrath and the condemnation of the Old Testament and mingle that with the New Testament grace. Jesus said that's like putting new wine in an old wineskin. It will not work. The wineskin will burst and break out. Paul was preaching a radical message, so much so that the Apostle Peter came along, and in his writings, I believe it's 2 Peter, see the 1st or 2nd Peter, the last chapter, he says, our beloved brother Paul says some of these things which are hard to be understood, which those that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with as they do other scripture. Peter put Paul's writings in the category of scripture, called them scripture in his day. And yet Paul rebuked Peter to his face. When Peter came to Antioch, Paul said, you are to blame. You are a hypocrite. You knew this message of grace because you went in and ate with the Gentiles. You did things that broke Jewish tradition and law. And you ate with them. But when the Jews from Jerusalem came, then you dissembled, which means you were a hypocrite. And you separated yourself and ate separate so that you wouldn't mingle with them. And he says, you knew the truth and you didn't stand up to it. Paul's revelation was actually superior to Peter's revelation. Paul had an understanding of the grace of God that the Apostle Peter says some people, he says some things that are hard to understand. Here's Peter saying, man, our beloved brother Paul says some hard things to understand. Where did Paul get this revelation? You know, you could kind of understand if it was Peter that was saying these things because he spent 3.5 years following Jesus and watching him perform these miracles and listening to every message that Jesus gave. But the Apostle Paul didn't know Jesus. I'm sure that he either saw him or heard about him, but he was not a disciple. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was persecuting the church. He was not a follower of the Lord. He didn't sit under his ministry.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar in Kansas City, Kansas. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM229 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I'd like to encourage you to call into our helpline, and you can not only get these products, which I really encourage you to do because they'd be good for you, and it'd also be a great way for you to share these truths with someone else. So please get the products, but also these people that answer the phones are some super people, some very mature Christians. We get compliments and comments constantly from people who call in that they have never had the compassion, the love, the power of God demonstrated like through our helpline. You would really be blessed. So if this has touched you and you'd like some prayer or ministry, please call and remember to get these products.